Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Good evening to all of you. Thank you for coming tonight to our Ascension of the Lord service, and we'll follow along as it's in our printed order of service. Our opening hymn is See the Lord Ascends in Triumph. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll continue with the introit. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Alleluia.
This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Alleluia.
Clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Alleluia.
This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Alleluia.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, descended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind, and continually dwell there with him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the ascension of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. When the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord is taking your master from you?" He said, "Yes, I know. Be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Then 50 men from the sons of the prophets came and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them were standing at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak and struck the water. It divided to the right and to the left. Then the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I can do for you before I'm taken from you." Then Elisha said, "Let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." He said, "You have asked a difficult thing. If you see me being taken from you, you will have it, but if not, then you won't." While they were walking and talking, suddenly a chariot made of fire and horses made of fire came and separated them. So Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha was watching and cried out, my father, Israel's chariot and his horsemen." Then he did not see him anymore. He grabbed his garment and he ripped it into two pieces. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen from him. He returned and stood at the edge of the Jordan. He took Elijah's cloak, which had fallen from him, and he struck the water and said, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" As soon as he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left so that Elisha could cross. The sons of the prophets who were in Jericho facing him saw this and said, "Elijah's spirit is resting on Elisha." They went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 1. I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they were together with him, they asked, "Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them out as far as the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. Amen. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
We'll sing our chief hymn, a hymn of glory, let us sing.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't grow up going to Ascension services. You probably didn't either. They weren't offered in the church where I grew up. The first time I ever went to an Ascension service was when I was in seminary. Up to that point, I hadn't really thought much about Christ's ascension into heaven. It was just a line in the creed. He ascended into heaven. It was kind of a raw historical fact, but I was a bit at a loss as to the significance of it. This goes to show something about our regular church services. We easily take them for granted. With the repetition every year of the same Sundays, the same festivals, it can seem like just a matter of course. Long-time Christians probably aren't blown away when they come to church with all kinds of new information. Maybe there's only one or two things at most that they might learn from a service, but those things add up over the years. This was at least part of the reason why I didn't know what to make of Christ's ascending into heaven. In fact, to be honest, I think I secretly thought the ascension wasn't too good of an idea. It seemed to me that we Christians would be better off if Jesus had stuck around. It seemed to me that it would be easier for people to believe if they could see him. So the ascension almost seemed to be something that should be mourned rather than celebrated. But this is thinking in a rather earthly way. This is thinking about the successfulness of one's congregation or church body. This is the hankering after earthly power and success, wanting the excitement that comes with being with a large crowd of people. Jesus really was not interested in this kind of thing. If he were interested in making a big and powerful movement, then he would have done a lot of things differently than he had. True success for the Christian church is not a matter of accumulating big followings, big offerings, putting yourself on the map. The Christian church is not a building, nor is it an organization. The Christian church is solely made up of people. The Christian church is the communion of saints. The Christian church consists of people who follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. They are born again by the water and the Holy Spirit and baptism. Their old evil heart is being sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit so that they no longer cling to old evil lusts, but rather to love God and one's neighbor. As holy people, as saints, they are on their way to the promised land to live together with God. There will be no Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in heaven. There will be no bureaucracies or church officials. There will be no pastors in heaven. There will only be one pastor, or shepherd, and that is Jesus. He will lead us, his sheep. He will shelter us with his presence so that we will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike us, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So if you think of the successfulness of the Christian church as getting bigger and bigger, as getting more and more powerful, more and more persuasive, then Jesus' ascension isn't good news. The Christian church's message would be more acceptable to our reason if Jesus had stuck around. Excuse me. But that's not what the true Christian church is. The true Christian church is made up of believers, not visible, powerful, earthly institutions. And if you believe in Jesus, then the ascension is indeed something to celebrate. This is, first of all, something to celebrate as far as Jesus is concerned. Then, secondly, it is something that we celebrate as his disciples. It is something to celebrate as far as Jesus is concerned because he has finished his course on earth. The Son came down from the Father, was born of the Virgin Mary, and accomplished the redemption of sinners by his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He rose triumphant over death on Easter morning. Death is something that would otherwise hold us in its eternal grip if Jesus had not defeated it for us. Having done all things well, now the Lord Jesus Christ is going back to the Father from whom he had come. During this Easter season, we sing, "This is the feast of victory for our God." In a way, this is more appropriate for Jesus' ascension than it is even for Easter. The reason why he ascends is because his work of salvation is complete. His course on earth is done. Now he reigns and rules over his spiritual kingdom at the right hand of God. He reigns and rules by the word and the sacraments through which people believe in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the feast of victory for our God as Jesus ascends. But realize, though, that with every victory there is a judgment that is rendered. The reason why there's a victory is because there are winners and there are losers. The winners are vindicated. The losers are revealed for what they really are. And so it is also when we speak of Jesus' victory. Jesus is vindicated. There were some people who thought that he was a blasphemer. Some people thought that he was a fraud. Some people thought that he was destructive to the church and to the Jewish cause. Folks at the cross wagged their heads at him and said, "If you really are the Christ, then come down from that cross and then we'll believe you." And when Jesus didn't do this, they scorned him as a miserable fool. But he was not a fool. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He will come again in even more power and glory to bring to light how things really are. The ascension is Jesus' victory. It is a victory for us as his disciples as well. This is a bit of a strange way of speaking for us, that it is our victory, because we don't seem to be involved in Jesus' ascension. But here's the thing. Christians do not make their own way. They follow after their master. That is what it means to be a disciple. Jesus' victories become our victories as we follow after him. Therefore, Jesus' victory over death is ours. Jesus' resurrection is ours. Jesus' ascension and life together with Almighty God is ours. Christians are also vindicated, just like Jesus is, in their way of life. Just as Jesus was judged as being deluded by thinking that he was the Son of God while he was dying on the cross, so also people think it is foolish to work at being a Christian. There is no shortage of people who think that it is a waste of time to hear God's word or receive his sacraments. There are a whole lot of other things that they think offer more pleasure than doing something like that. They also regard it as foolish to pursue the sacrificial and humble life that is ours as Christians when we love God and our neighbor. They say that if you want to get ahead in life, then you have to look out for yourself. Nobody gives it to you. You have to take it. Fight for every dollar and cent, every trophy and reward, and make yourself glorious. If you don't do this, then you're some kind of loser. Working your tail off for your own glory actually works pretty well for this earthly life. If that common saying were true, that you only have one life to live, then why would you deprive yourself of anything? Why would you suffer? Why should you love anybody but yourself? But the ascension vindicates a different way of life than the one that the world lives. What is life all about? It's about our Creator, who has loved us and therefore sent his Son to redeem us. He also sanctifies us so that we begin to love God and our neighbor instead of only loving ourselves. The one who is truly glorious is not somebody who's rich and famous, but the one who loves, sacrifices, and suffers. These are folks living that way, suffering, sacrificing, suffering. They're just like the spitting image of our Master. This will all become clear when Jesus returns on the clouds to judge the living and the dead. People whom the world has no time for, humble people, people who just do their job quietly, who work, though, at loving and serving, these people will have more glory than the rich and the famous, for they have lived better lives. They have lived better lives because the best life that anybody can lead is the one that is shown to us by Jesus, the life of love. Jesus' ascension, therefore, is important and relevant for us. It shows us the way to go. We do not live like the world, which does not know what the good life is. We follow after Jesus, preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Jesus is victorious and glorious as he ascends, and we will be too if we do not give up. We continue on our pilgrim way, misunderstood by the world, but known by our Savior. But while we make our pilgrim way, Jesus has not left us as orphans. He has sent his Holy Spirit. He gives us many gifts. For example, tonight he offers Christ's body to eat and his blood to drink. We have not been able to receive this gift very easily lately. It is food for the journey to heaven. The world cannot understand how it helps in the least, but Jesus tells us that it works. It increases our faith in God and our fervent love for one another. This is exactly what we in the Christian church need more than anything. It is good to rejoice tonight. This is the feast of victory for our God. It is the feast of victory also for you. Jesus is drawing you to himself in heaven. Follow after him. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent your only begotten Son into our world in order to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. In his perfect life, sacrificial death, glorious resurrection, and ascension into heaven, he fulfilled everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, thus winning for us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Keep us, your baptized children, clothed in his holiness and righteousness as his beautiful and unblemished bride. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for retaining among us your holy word and sacraments. Give encouragement to congregations who are unable to gather, and bring them together soon, and renew in us a love for the Holy Scriptures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the midst of strife and conflict, pestilence and unemployment, and wars and rumors of wars, remind us that you have given all authority in heaven and on earth to your Son, our ascended Lord. Thwart those who would hinder your reign among all peoples. Deliver us from greed, self-centeredness, and pride. Grant us a proper sense of priorities that we may seek those things which are above. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
On this day, as we celebrate your Son's ascension into heaven, where he intercedes for us as our prophet, priest, and king, give us the confidence that whatever we ask in his name and according to his will shall be granted. Feed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation here at the holy altar, that our faith may be strengthened and our hope increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have not left us without comfort and hope. Consider our woes and fears. Be not far from us in our times of trial. Be with the lonely, the forsaken, the sick, and the distressed. Help us to be watchful and to be in prayer, longing for your Son's glorious return, when we too shall be resurrected to dwell body and soul in his kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We'll continue with the offertory.
Thanksgiving, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for For you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
Amen.
Born to reign in us forever.
sin offering made for every soul.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
We'll continue with the Thank the Lord on page 19.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, Look, Ye Saints, the Sight is Glorious.
Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him.
joy to worship our risen and ascended Lord Jesus together with you tonight. I wish you all God's richest blessings and hope to see you on Sunday at 10 o'clock.